We're now going to be looking at the texts themselves. The first reading is from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. Wisdom does not occur very often in the liturgy, but it is a beautiful book. And it also shows the democracy of the Word of God. It was written in Greek. It was not written in Hebrew. And for that reason, of course, the Jews at Yamnia, or wherever they were when they decided this sort of thing, and Jerome, who followed them, didn't want it canonical, but it is canonical, and it is beautiful, and it is Old Testament, and it is Jewish. It's just that it's written in Greek rather than Hebrew. Wisdom. I'm going to try to develop some of that for you, what that really means. But we'll begin first with our text, okay? Lampra ke amarontos. Sophia, wisdom, is resplendent and unfading. She is readily perceived by those who love her. It's just a happy thing that wisdom, chokmah in Hebrew, Sophia in Greek, is feminine. So all the words flowing back to them, you see, are feminine. In our language, we don't have gender in the words and the nouns, and so wisdom is just wisdom. But this is very interesting. I'll tell you why. I'll read it right now for you. There's a text in the book of Sirach, in chapter 15. Wisdom is attractive. It's approachable. In fact, wisdom approaches us. And in a feminine way. Sirach says here in chapter 15, he who fears the Lord will do this, all the things he's been describing, fidelity to the Lord, because there's no wisdom unless your life is in order. If your life is not ordered, your mind is not ordered. If your mind is not ordered, there's no wisdom, period. Okay. He who is practicing the law will come to wisdom. Now listen to this. Mother-like, she will meet him. Like a young bride, she will embrace him, nourishing him with the bread of understanding, and giving him the water of learning to drink. He will lean upon her and not fall. He will trust in her and not be put to shame. Wisdom. You see, there's a feminine quality. There's also a question of touch. Origen says correctly that knowledge biblically always implies contact. You don't know just by, there has to be some contact. Even building a bridge has to be some contact between you and the laws of mathematics by which you build this bridge. But this is the ultimate, you see, of wisdom, knowledge of God. God has to take the initiative. And his initiative is, as it were, feminine. It's attractive. It's discreet. Father Norrie Clark used to say, a Kantian approach to reality is like a great big construction worker pounding away at stuff. Whereas a correct way is like somebody seeking for fine pearls or being led by the beauty of wisdom. So, she hastens, and now we're back to the text for the Mass from Sirach, she hastens to make herself known in anticipation of their desire. If you desire wisdom, you're going to find her. Whoever watches for her at dawn shall not be disappointed, for he shall find her sitting by his gate. She's waiting for him, right outside his own house. wisdom, indescribable. Ultimately, it means, as we're going to see, knowledge of Jesus Christ. He is the wisdom of God. Okay. For taking thought of wisdom is the perfection of prudence, huh? And whoever for her sake keeps vigil shall quickly be free from care. Why? Because he's got a big bank account? All his problems were solved? No. Because he has a vision of life and death, where things are going, and he is touched by the Word of God. The Logos, Jesus, touches him, and his heart is free. Doesn't mean he doesn't suffer. But you see, and so we have that notion. I'm going to move on with it now. For taking thought of wisdom is the perfection of prudence. And whoever for her sake keeps vigil shall quickly be free from care. Why? Because he's always got enough money in the bank? No. Because he has a different vision of reality. And he has enough of a relationship to God to trust him. The most precious reality in the world is wisdom. And ultimately, it's a free gift. Another place you can look, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. If I can find it quickly, I think I can. See, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands, turning your ear to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call to intelligence and to understanding, raise your voice, if you seek her like silver and like hidden treasures, search her out. This is all your work, right? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God you will find. Why? Because the Lord gives wisdom. All your searching doesn't produce wisdom. It just produces an open heart where God can put the wisdom. Ultimately, Jesus Christ. That's why, as we're going to see later, I hope, in chapter 15 of John, he says, I call you friends because everything I've heard from the Father, I tell you. That's wisdom speaking. It's ineffable. There's no way to describe wisdom. It's liberating, it's freeing, and it always has that notion of contact and that ineffable, difficult dimension which we associate well with femininity. Generous, soft, approachable, master of herself. It's this notion. And so, this text is put here for that reason. See? Now, because she makes her own rounds, seeking those worthy. Who are the ones worthy of her? The ones who are seeking for her. And graciously appears to them in the ways and meets them all with solicitude. It's a great relief in meeting wisdom. And that's why you see, from another angle, how much of the Mariology of the centuries draws from wisdom. She's the seat of wisdom. We have a mass in honor of the seat of wisdom. She meets them with all solicitude. Huh? That's the way our text goes. I didn't mean to rush through it, but I want to look at the psalm a little bit today. It's Psalm 63, because, you see, the secret of wisdom is desire. Desire. And if the Lord stirs up in you such a desire that you say, Lord, I will get rid of any sin, any fault, anything you want, I'll get rid of out of my life, if you will only let me know you better, which is wisdom. It's a pull. It's a desire. And that's a gift. You see? This is the way the psalmist describes it. This is Psalm 63. Elohim Eli, God, my God, you are the one I seek. For you my flesh pines and my soul thirsts. My whole being, even my body is unhappy, not knowing you. You see? Like the earth parched, lifeless and without water. That's what I'm like without you. I eat, I drink, I talk, I go to work. But I'm dead without wisdom. It's wisdom, you see? And that's why it just happens, but the word in Latin for wisdom is sapientia, which is linked by sound, at least, with the words that mean savor, to taste. You see? Gustate et videte. Gustare is a different word than sapere, but it's the same notion. Okay. Now, so my soul is thirsting for you, O God. Thus I have gazed on you in the sanctuary to see, you see, your power and your glory. That's marvelous, isn't it? To see your ooze, your power, and everybody by now must know this word for glory, right? Kavod. Your kavod. I want to see it. You know? I'm tired of hearing about you. I want to know you myself. Okay, until I die, I'll always be hearing from you in the scriptures, from the saints, from the teaching of the church. I got to hear from you. But I don't want just that. I want to know you. You see? For your kindness is greater than life, and my lips shall glorify you. Thus, I will bless you while I live. Lifting up my hands, I will call upon your name. And now what happens? As with the riches of a banquet, so shall my soul be satisfied. With exalted lips, my mouth shall praise you. I don't know why, but going through my mind at that moment is the account of how many martyrs being tortured were just ravished by the beauty of God. That's what meant more to them than their pain. You see? I'll remember you all night, and in the shadow of your wings, I'm protected. I'll shout for joy. You see this desire for wisdom. And wisdom, you see, mother-like, she comes to meet him. You see? And this is Jesus. And so, this psalm is celebrating the desire and expressing the desire for wisdom. Desire is the key. We are what we desire. That's who we are. If we desire God, we will become God-like, and He will attract us, and pretty soon be so appealing that we forget about everything else. That doesn't mean we walk around in a stupor. It means, as St. Thomas will say, wisdom is judging everything in the light of the highest cause, which means judging it from an experience of the Trinity.